Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for the Buckhead Business Radio Show.
All right, good morning, everyone. Rich Casanova here, Buckhead Business Radio X, your host for this morning's show. We have a couple of interesting guests. I think everyone's going to enjoy our show this morning. But first up, I introduce my, my co-host. I've known for a while, has been in the studio, Craig Williams. How are you doing this morning?
Happy Tuesday. Can I say what day it is?
Yeah, I was almost going to put that up on the board, whatever. Okay. That's kind of stealing your trademark. Whatever. Happy Tuesday to you as well.
It's not stealing it. Everybody uses it now.
Right, yeah. All right. So I appreciate you. We have a couple of guests here, but one you know very well. But what have you been doing in the last since last time I saw you? You have some interesting projects in the works. All right.
Well, partnered with Neil Howe, and we have a syndicated radio.
Right.
No, just joking.
All right. Thanks.
Syndicated media company. Just saying, if you're still awake.
Yeah.
And basically, what we like to do is leverage individuals' uniqueness to increase their bottom line.
And put them in a position of authority, right?
Yeah, we position them as the authority.
Okay, yeah. Nice. So before we get into our show and introduce our other guests, I just want to say thanks again to our business partners, sponsors, and underwriters who help make this show possible. Atlanta Business Networking, promoting over 100 networking events throughout Atlanta. Network, build relationships, and business will follow. Crown Office Suites, with full-time, part-time, and virtual executive office plans for anyone seeking convenience, flexibility, full-service amenities, as well as meeting and conference options. And the Ritz Group, connecting entrepreneurs and business, raising capital with angels, investors, and institutions. The Ritz Group, where capital meets creativity. So I'm Rich once again, your host, and Craig. So we're going to start with June, but before we have you introduce June, and she has an interesting backstory. Also, I want to introduce Samuel Hayes is in our studio this morning. Sam, you want to say hi to us? How are you doing this morning?
Good morning. How's everyone?
Yeah. So this is quite the spectrum of guests here this morning, because your background we're going to get into, but as a physical security expert.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Now, what is in a quick elevator, 10 second, what's that involve?
Pretty much my experience has taken me to places where we can learn how to protect assets, whether that asset be human assets, information, people, places, things, whatever. We basically just make sure everybody's safe.
And would part of that be a bodyguard for celebrities or whatever?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. I was hoping that. Yeah, that's exciting. Yeah.
But I can't give any names or tell any.
Are we under lockdown right now, or yeah, does it feel pretty secure?
We're good.
Okay, excellent.
Yeah, good. I got your back.
That was close, yeah.
He does have an entourage.
We do have some folks here observing in our studio as well. So let's get underway here. So Craig, who do you have in the studio here joining us?
We have June Klein, CSP, the Southern Sassy and Savvy Harley Riding Humorous. Say that three times.
Right. Three times backwards.
As president of Open Heart Communications and author of it, Is It God or Is It Gas? Her writing is also featured in Humor Me, along with 16 of the nation's other top humorists. June is also a co-host of the Happiness Recipe radio show, which is currently being heard in 43 states and over 20 countries, and I got the pleasure of being on that fun
you
show
did.
As well.
We had a blast.
We did.
I mean, how could you not have a blast with Craig, right?
Oh, you can't. You can't help but.
I think it's actually written into 36 states throughout the U.S., whatever. Yeah, it's part of their law. So June, welcome to the show this morning.
42.
Thank you. Tickled to life to be here.
And just reading your bio as well, I mean, Harley riding, humorist, and sassy all at the same time? Can you do that? Or while you don't text, though, do you?
No, she doesn't text while she does that.
I don't. Good. It's real hard to get your digits on the phone when you're trying to throttle up. So, yeah. I hadn't figured it out yet, but a lot of great ideas and stuff come to me when I'm riding my Harley. Good golly, Miss Molly. And,
when you got that wind blowing through
helmet.
Used to have in my hair. Through the helmet.
Yeah. Yeah, that works.
So this happiness recipe radio, tell us a little bit about that.
Well, it's way cool. My co-creator and co-founder, Sandy Weaver Carmen, and I just came up with the idea one day to start talking more about happiness and what other people's recipes were. So ours for the show is wit wisdom and wonderful food. And we interview weekly a guest that will give us some of their wisdom, and hopefully it has some wit to it, or I try to step in and provide some of that, and then the wonderful recipe. And it could be something like you grew up on with your mama and them, and you just, it's good food. And we've had some people come to tears because they hadn't thought about their mama's recipe in so long. So it's a real fun formula for success.
I heard Pharrell's song Happy was inspired by your show. Is that true? Or
it was true. It was true. We're looking for the royalties now.
Good luck on that. Yeah.
Isn't that a great song?
Oh, I mean, it's so contagious. I heard it again the other day, and I'm like, it's still, I mean, it's like,
it's timeless.
Yeah, right?
You can't not dance.
Yeah.
You can't not boogie.
I mean,
if
you're not happy, just tune into June's show and crank up the music. You're good to go. So you coined this phrase, ROI on OLL.
L-L-L-L.
You don't text much, do you?
Why don't, let's do that again, shall we?
I know what ROI is.
Of LOL.
Yeah.
And if you're on Facebook and different places where the shortcut now for laugh out loud is LOL.
Oh, that's what that is. Okay.
It is.
I thought it was legal.
See, there you go.
Office leaders. I don't know.
It's all about the return on investment of laughing out loud. And the work that I do with corporate and associations is all about getting people to understand that there is power in laughter. When you make someone laugh, you've changed their brain chemistry. And it's huge. So one day it can be such a hard sell to corporate to want to bring in the power of laughter and humor in the workplace and lead, laugh, or get out of the way, or any of the topics that I use, turning wit into wealth. That one's getting a little bit more response. And it's all about figuring out that if you initiate humor, how do you instigate it? And is it pointed out or is it pointed in? And if it's pointed out, that's where people and teams and companies are hurt by humor. And if it's pointed in, then it's usually a bonding and a dropping the wall down a little bit.
Yeah, especially if you're having to sell to right brain corporate executives, right?
Oh yeah. Even they have a sense of humor too, though. They just do it on the inside.
Right. Nice. So, what are some other thoughts, Craig? You have
in regards to the return on investment?
Well, just how does someone get started doing what she does? Right.
I guess you have to not take yourself serious like we're not doing right now.
That's a good start, yeah.
But I guess another question I would have is, have you always had the ability or the confidence to be funny?
Well, yes and no. It started a long time ago, and I figured out early on, I didn't know what I was doing back then, but as a wee child knee-high to a grasshopper, I figured out that if I could make people laugh, especially people in authority, such as my daddy, then I could get out of a little bit more trouble that way. And I've always been the family clown. I was too shy to be the class clown.
That was me.
You were the class clown. Yeah. Well, see, you too can do this. And yet
I have been doing this.
You have been, absolutely. And so the confidence comes with figuring out having the experiences. And what I talk about is IMOs, idiot moments. So who in this room has had an idiot moment? But
I mean, since we started the show,
how many?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
exactly. And that's the point. They're endless and they're priceless. And I teach corporate associations how to look at their individual IMO, their idiot moment. You know, the time that you locked yourself, out of the car,
right,
or out of the house naked. That's a whole different story. And it's not as kinky or sordid as it sounds. It was a real sad tail around trying to take out the trash, hearing the backup beeping noise, and then jumping out of the shower, grabbing a raincoat, and running outside and locking myself out. And then I had to go to neighbors looking like a, you know, bag lady.
And when was this?
A long time ago. Oh, okay. But it was ugly and painful, and I ended up having to have my neighbor drive me to Walmart in a raincoat and funky shoes. You remember those big old Cabbage Patch doll shoes?
Right.
I walked into Walmart where my mama was a greeter in her retired life.
Come on, June.
You got this on film.
I do.
Okay.
But it was pitiful and scary. And I walked up to my mama in a raincoat and a Cabbage Patch pair of shoes, house shoes, and she said, "Well, with those shoes, you are just a bit overdressed for a Walmart shopper." True story. See, made you snort.
So that's where you get some of your humor from. Yeah,
it's all about life. Yeah, it's not about jokes. Yeah. I'm not doing jokes. I'm doing life.
Yeah, it's experiential or situational humor, right?
And yes, and so when you can tie that to your product and or your service as your personal story, it's so powerful, nobody ever forgets you.
And when you talk to, you talked about corporations and associations, what kind of pushback or excitement, or what's the, you know, the two ends of the spectrum that you get response-wise there, you know?
Well, either it's all fluff and we need nuts and bolts and we don't have time for laughter and humor, and it's crazy because it's all about relationships. It's all about relationship building. And one of the first things you can do to lower that wall is to make someone laugh, to make them laugh out loud. And when you do, then you've already, again, changed their brain chemistry. The wall comes down and you begin to build that rapport. Don't you know people that you love to be around them? You love it when they show up because you know you're going to have a good time.
Most definitely.
Yeah, you're excited that they're in the room as opposed to the opposite, right?
Right. And then the most positive, or the plus side of that, is when people come up to you afterward, come up to me and tell me specifically, "Oh my gosh, you've changed my life." One group, one woman said she was going to have to go back and call all four of her brothers. She was the baby girl, and she thought they hated her entire life because they picked on her so much. But I have created comedic styles that help people self-select. And she thought, "Oh my gosh, they were just in their comedic style and they were picking on and playing with me. And I thought that they didn't like me." So isn't that amazing? I mean, a lifetime later, she's going to call all of her brothers and say, "I get it now."
So you did kind of expound on DISC profiling and kind of personality that we've familiar with, but in the comedic realm of,
I created based on several different behavioral styles, communication styles. I looked at that, and it was a painful situation that made me think of that one day. And that I'd had four different speeches that week, and they were all four received differently, but the one that was so hard that created this was, I did 250 engineers. Do you know how engineers laugh?
Do they?
Well, again,
is that a trick question?
Yeah. It is. And they're the cerebrals. That's what call them. And they laugh on the inside.
Inside.
And it took me a while to figure that out. So when I went back and started analyzing the different styles, I came up with four different styles, which are the crazies. They'll do anything. They'll wear something on their head or do crazy stuff.
Real flamboyant and over the top kind of people.
Outward.
So those are the crazies.
Crazies. And then they all have comedic styles with it. So crazies is Jim Carrey, the crazy Carries. Right. And then
cerebral?
Nope, not cerebral. Not them yet.
Okay.
Caring Cosbys. Cause you think of Cosby. All about his family and Jell-O and kids.
Right.
And so that's those of us that will tell on ourselves.
Very funny, but not over the top. Yeah,
exactly. Okay. And then now we're to the cerebrals, which are the cerebral Carsons. And remember Johnny.
Oh,
his wit was so cerebral that we didn't get it from time to time. And then he would do that golf shot.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was then upping it one more that we still didn't get it, but it was made it funnier.
Yeah.
And then last but not least are the acoustic Clays. Do you remember Andrew Dice Clay?
Oh, yeah.
Your face, rude. Yeah.
Yeah. He looks like he could pull a gun. And so, so if you can just self-identify even with those words of crazy, caring, cerebral, and caustic, and or if you're in a selling situation, you start to pay attention and put those people sometimes it doesn't always ring true, but at least you can kind of get a guide from business which way your humor can lean. Because the more you lean toward them, then the more they're going to feel connected with you.
Yeah, identify. Yeah. Yeah. I remember Johnny. It was that subtle. And like sometimes he would deliver a line and there was that delay, but just the nod of the head or the wink or whatever. And then the audience would come along with him. I'm sure Craig has a couple other questions, but I want to just, ask you a little bit about these corporations and associations. Are there any, I know you can probably cover the entire spectrum, but is there any kind of like your sweet spot or wheelhouse or some that seem to identify more with your style or your presentation one of your favorites, I guess? Or?
I love that you've asked that question, Rich, because it's taken me about 23 years to figure out my prime audience.
Yeah, okay.
And they are pre through post menopausal women and the people who love them. And okay. that has generated a whole new show that I'm now doing, a one-woman show, based on looking at my audience and figuring out these women, I can make loose fluids. I can.
Right. Well, thanks, June, for being here. Let's go ahead and cut over to Sam. So, Sam, how are you doing this one? Yeah. Craig, I'll let you follow that one up, buddy. Yeah, it's all you, man.
No,
yeah,
man. Oh, geez. As an authority in humor, what's on the horizon for June Klein in the Open Heart Communications that will help others?
Well, it's really now understanding what my mission is. My mission in corporate and associations is to help people get it, that when they initiate laughter, it changes everything. And to give them the confidence, I have them literally go ape in my workshops. And at first, you can tell the ones that are more cerebral and caustic because right. they ain't playing.
Exactly. Yeah.
I don't know what this lady's about, but nah, I don't think so. But the whole thing is an acronym, of course, which is awareness. And that's just heightening the awareness of the power of you being the one to positively initiate humor. P is to give yourself permission. And that is where I really spend time in the workshops, getting them to do some little outrageous things that are safe, and I create a safe environment. But I get them to get it that if you won't do this, what makes you think you're going to go out there and do that to try to bring attention to yourself by trying to make somebody laugh? And then the last one is just the E is for fun. And I love it when I get that look. Craig
is for
Rich.
Fun.
And when you have
you're taking notes, yeah.
1,000 people looking up at you going, what? And it's a gotcha. And
exactly.
That's
nice.
The point is you have to change. You yeah. have to make a change. And APF didn't spell anything.
Right.
But they'll never forget APE. They'll
yeah,
never
yeah.
forget going
I love
APE.
That.
It's awesome.
Awesome. Yeah. It sounds like over the last couple of decades, you've literally propelled yourself into your destiny and passion. How can those who are listening right now do the same?
You know, I think we have to go back and not live in the past, but at least look at the past and see where and what we were doing. What was our personality? How were we behaving? What were our personal characteristics and traits? And it's taken me a couple of decades to realize, Craig, that it goes back to my family and realizing that, you know, my dad, bless his heart, he had what I call the 3M disease, which I will affectionately say meant he was either mean, mentally ill, or a moron. And, you know, that's how he loved us, but he just didn't know how.
Yeah.
And I learned early on, as I said, to deflect some of that with humor. And I literally have kept us alive. There were times when our lives were threatened. And as sad as that is, I know I'm not the only one out there like that. And so exactly. when I got into corporate, and sometimes we feel like our lives are threatened, and gosh, in today's crazy society, it really is. And I started using and being the one that could drop the perfect quip or quote or make people laugh at a very crucial time. Mm-hmm. And it took me years to look back and think, oh, that's a skill. And that's something that I have done since I was knee high to a grasshopper.
So it's like a gift, too.
It is a gift. It's a gift. And yet, one of the questions I'm often asked is, are we born with a sense of humor, or can we learn it or earn it? And I say yes to both. It depends on how much you want it, how hard you're willing to work at it, because it's work. It's work. When you see a comedian, which I am not, or somebody out there doing their funny thing, it's work. I'm a humorist. And for me, that means I tell life funny. And that's why I go back to, okay, what's your crazy moment? What's your IMO? What's the idiotness that's happened to you today? And how can you change it, take it, turn it, twist it, just a tweak to make it funny and to make an impact with your product and your service? Mm. Did I answer your question?
Yes, you did. Fully,
awesome.
Completely.
Absolutely.
Thoroughly.
Did we touch on this? You have a one-woman show entitled Make It a Great Ride.
I do.
Yeah. Can you tell us about that?
Well, again, it was through going through a coaching program that I was being coached, and he just kept hammering, who's your audience? Who's your audience? And in total frustration, I said, I can make pre through postmenopausal women lose fluids. And from that, I went, oh gosh, that's my audience. Well, then why don't I create a night where people can come out and just have a night of levity and laughter with June Klein? And so I've done two. I did, my first was in Roswell at the Red Door Playhouse,
okay.
and packed the house, and women brought their people who love them. Right. And it was so fun. And being my first, of course, I didn't know what I didn't know. The guys laughed harder than the women because they were living with these women.
Right.
And they were totally being validated. Yeah. It's like if you've ever woken up, thrown back the covers from a hot flash only to discover that you know, and come out of your clothes only to discover that you're on a plane to Phoenix.
You know, right.
This is not good. And the guys are just slapping their knees. And I'm like, oh, you're sleeping with these women, aren't you? Right. So they know when the covers get thrown back.
I forget where I heard this, but somebody was coaching his son, up-and-coming teenager. He said, son, there's only one thing you need to know about women, right? He says, always have a sweater nearby or whatever, right? Everything else will take care of itself. Yeah, right.
That was brilliant. Right. That was brilliant. Yeah, yeah. That's a smart person.
There you go. June, pleasure having you here this morning, and I hope you'll stick around. And it should be some interesting, maybe if we have time afterwards with Samuel to I don't know how we tie in comedy and the serious topic we're getting to right now. Craig, I might need a segue here or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be pretty good.
Yeah, yeah. We'll work on that next time. Yeah. So, June, tell our audience, our listeners, what's the best way to get in touch with you and find out more about what you're offering?
Well, they can get a hold of me on Facebook where I'm June Klein 2, the number 2, because somebody else had me first. And yeah. I said, well, I'm June Klein 2, so I'm going to take that. And then JuneKlein.com is my website, and you can get some clips and see some stuff there. But June@JuneKlein.com is my email, and I'd be tickled alive to talk to you.
That's a C, not a K.
Thank okay, you.
Yeah. C-L-I-N-E.
I normally see that myself. C-L-I-N-E.
And it's E for humor, right?
Or it is. It? Yeah. That was good.
Okay. So, and all this information will be on the site as well on Buckhead Business Radio X. So,
Perfect. So
thanks again for being here, and feel free to maybe, after we do a segment with Samuel, maybe we'll have time to jump in and do a little, interesting, awesome. Additional conversation. So,
tickled to life to be here. Thanks for having me.
Same here. Really enjoyed it. And, so up next, Craig, we have our next guest, in the studio, Samuel Hayes. The third, right?
So yes. There's three of you
there's
all?
There's three of us.
But not, there's only one here this morning.
There's
though,
only
right?
one here this morning.
Okay,
well,
good. We'll see. Yeah. Lock the door just in case, whatever. Yeah, yeah. So according to your bio, you're a physical security expert. You're a firearms and combatism instructor. All right. And you've 20 years in this industry or this field.
20 plus.
Okay. Yeah.
He's been playing with firearms for 20 years.
Nice. Well, I had a BB gun and, remember you used to be able to toss those lawn darts at your brothers or whatever, right? I don't know if that qualifies. I don't really wouldn't put that on my resume or anything.
That could be a combatives class.
Right. Nice. Yeah. Okay. And you've worked extensively with various law enforcement government entities in support of protective details for key political figures and visiting dignitaries, right?
Yes.
You also served in Desert Storm. Thanks again for your service there. Absolutely. Private security contractor. You were deployed for security for BP following the Hurricane Katrina?
Yes.
Wow. And today you're the CEO and lead instructor for personal defense training, consulting company, Caliber Training Group, LLC.
Yep.
Welcome to the show this
Thank
morning.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you for having me.
Welcome. Yeah. How are we doing so far?
Doing good. Coming behind out the kind of
father, yeah.
I almost feel like I'm about to ruin the mood.
Yeah. Well, look at it as that she opened up for you.
How there you go. That? Yeah. Nice.
Tough act to follow.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you'll do fine. You'll do fine. And then, so tell us, before we get into your background and your business, are you from the area here originally or?
Actually, I'm born and raised in New York.
Okay.
And I made my escape in 1999 and never looked back. You know, right. Even when I go home now, I can't wait to get back to Atlanta.
Yeah.
You know, New York is just.
It's
New York.
It's New York. It's a very hostile environment.
Right. Yeah.
Can be. That's where he got his training from.
Yeah, you left. Yeah,
actually,
that was his Paris Island.
Yeah, that was definitely the beginning of what drove me in the direction of that I went with my career.
So you got out in time just before Y2K. You remember that?
I did.
All right. So we talked a little about your background. Anything you want to expand on that? Besides what we mentioned.
Yeah, actually, I put on my first security uniform in 1987, and it was interesting because my first day at work, I was in the ugliest powder blue uniform you could ever possibly imagine a man wearing.
Right, right.
And that day I got beat up by a girl with Down syndrome who was stealing candy.
Wow.
So had somebody told me that almost 30 years later, I'd still be in the security industry, I'd be like, no way. I'm going to be a chiropractor. I'm done with the security stuff. But it just didn't turn out like that way. Went in the military. When I got out the military, I was looking for a job where I could basically sit around and do my homework. So I said, hey, I'll go back and do that security thing.
Right.
Didn't quite work out like that. They looked at my DD-214, saw some things that I'd done in the military and said, well, you know, we've got a management position open for you. I'm like, you know, I'm kind of interested in just going to school right now. They were like, pays $42,000 a year. I was like, I'll start tomorrow. So, you know, so this was in the 90s. So $42,000 at the time was a nice piece of change. And I just got back into the work, really put my mind into it and really started to love it. You know, the aspirations of being because I really did want to be a chiropractor.
Oh, yeah.
Those aspirations just kind of drifted off. And, you know, I had an opportunity to move back to New York. I was in Philadelphia at the time. Got an opportunity to move back to New York and become a security manager for Viacom.
Okay.
And that was a game changer in my career. Honestly, because it put me in a position to become exposed to a lot of training opportunities that developed me as an instructor, as well as this was right during a time when they were purchasing Paramount Studios.
Oh, wow.
So it put me in a position to actually get my feet wet in executive protection work firsthand. You know, at the time, Sumner Redstone was, I think he was the 11th richest man in the world, according to Forbes.
Wow.
So, you know, we were providing security for him, which he didn't like. So we had to figure out ways to do it and not, you know, get in his way and anger him, because he's quite the formidable individual when he gets angry.
I think at the time, Craig was the number 10, which is, weren't you? Or, you've dropped off a few notches there.
I've fallen.
Yeah, welcome to Radio X. Yeah.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Depending on where you're going to get a car. Yeah.
Getting beat up by, I'm just chilled back to that story, visualizing that. That's almost as good as the Walmart story, June, whatever. Yeah.
Thank you.
See if you can blend those two next time. Yeah.
Was that powder blue like my shirt?
Yes.
It was powder blue, very much like your shirt, but the entire color. And then it had gold epaulets
Oh my goodness.
So, I mean, like
Michael Jackson kind of.
No. The entire uniform was powder blue.
My goodness.
The jacket, the pants.
Okay. Now I understand. Now I don't feel so bad about
it. I don't know if she
happened.
Beat me up because I caught her stealing or because my uniform was
It was the uniform. It was the uniform.
Yeah. We would have done the same. I mean, just let's be honest, right? Yeah. Okay. So back to business here. What types of classes do y'all offer there?
Basically, what we got, we tend to not look at ourselves as just a firearms company because we're offering classes across multiple disciplines to where we teach people. In addition to firearms, we also teach unarmed combatives, people who may have an aversion to using firearms. We teach them some intermediate use of force options, like pepper spray. We do some of the or tasers. We do the unarmed combatives, as well as we have a series of what we like to call urban survival classes.
Nice.
To where we're teaching people how to deal with scenarios like the recent ice storm or the 2009 flood that had Six Flags underwater. Or, you know, the millions of people that go year after year with no power because a tree will fall on a Georgia power line.
Right.
You know, so they can go days on end without having electricity, which could potentially be a problem if, you know, you're diabetic and you have to keep your insulin refrigerated, or if you are an asthmatic and you need your breathing machine. So we try to teach people across the board how to be their own best bodyguard across multiple scenarios, not just violent encounters or critical incidents.
Wow.
So if they do that, is that like a certain block of time or over a period of time? Or I guess there's different variables, right?
Yeah, we have a series of classes that we offer. But actually, one of the things that I'm looking at doing now is putting together a subscription-based program to where a person can join on a monthly basis.
Okay.
And throughout that month, they'll have a series of private training opportunities with myself and other instructors that I work with to where we can take them through from beginning to end. And, you know, we start them off as Boy Scouts and end them off as Jason Bourne type of thing, you know?
I'm in, whatever, yeah.
I want to do the fast track.
Me too. I'm going to skip right past the Boy Scout. I was already in that program, yeah. So who are some of the people that I wouldn't say you're targeting? I mean, that's
a good word. Who's your ideal student?
Thank you, Craig, yeah.
My ideal student actually is pretty much anybody because of the wide breadth of classes that we teach. You know, we pretty much have something there for everyone. We don't specialize in any one particular group, because my thought process has always been, in this industry, law enforcement and military usually get all of the really good stuff, but then the civilians are pretty much left, or private citizens are pretty much left out in the cold, not having access to this information. So we pretty much take that same information and we just modify it so that it's relevant to the things that private citizens would have to deal with on a day-to-day basis, as well as law enforcement officers, some military units that we work with as well.
Awesome. So, Sam Hayes, you're the physical security expert. Could you drill down a little bit more and kind of, you know, make that
a day in the life.
Yeah. Or just, I kind of want to get to the really where his authority, his true authority is.
Okay.
You know,
it's come from providing security services for throughout my career for various Fortune 500 companies, as well as high net worth individuals. We'll do things, pertaining to the, making sure that the security system or that the facility is actually secure as well. Cause it doesn't make a difference if you're in your house and you could have all the armament you want, but if you don't have a front door, or if the locks on your front door don't work, you know, or if
I knew I was missing something or whatever. Yeah.
You know, so we basically use a lot of different techniques to make sure that there's a comprehensive and full security program in place for whoever our clients are. And that really comes from, like I said, the years of experience providing security, designing electronic security systems, evaluating, you know, operational staff, making sure that the staff know what they're doing, making sure that they're following, making sure that the policies and procedures are actually in place to handle these scenarios.
Gotcha.
You know, I actually worked in Manhattan during the first World Trade Center bombing.
Wow.
And we found out that a lot of what we had in place was not adequate to handle that type of thing because, you know, as Americans, we oftentimes, we don't see that kind of thing on U.S. soil very often.
Yeah.
So we almost have an arrogance when it comes to security pertaining to, you know, that could never happen to me type
right.
of thing.
Not on ours.
And then when it does happen, we're like, you know, everybody wants to blame security at that point. Well, you know, you didn't give us the resources and provide us with the money that we needed to actually make these things happen and put these policies and procedures in place.
Or even to remind them about, you know, common sense too.
Yeah. And you know, my grandfather used to say common sense is not so common.
Yeah.
So, you know, oftentimes it takes a critical incident in order to get people really see that it's time to step up and we have to make some changes here.
So you do a lot of educating and advocating.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, 90% of what I do is education, even on the firearm side of it, because I have to make sure that you have the proper mentality and a proper attitude towards utilizing the information that we're giving you to make sure that you're not going to be a threat. Cause the last thing I want to do is train the wrong type of person.
Yeah.
You know, and they take this information that they're using and go out and do something that they're not supposed to do. So
yeah. How do you prevent that though?
Well, with a lot of my classes, I typically require that they have a Georgia weapons license.
Okay.
Cause at that point, the state has already done.
There's been some screening. That's smart.
There's been some screening there. And, if I'm being completely honest, you know,
you get some that slip through. I got that.
How you carry yourself is going to depend on whether or not
cues that you pick up on or whatever.
Yeah. Definitely. Yeah. You know, having worked in the industry as long as I have and having done some of the things that I've done, you know, I've always been a workaholic. So I've had some part-time jobs, even as a security manager, I'd get off, you know, my day job. And then at night I'm working with a bail enforcement agency and we're chasing down fugitives and things like that.
Wow.
So that gave me a perspective on how to deal with that particular mindset of individual. And like you said, growing up in the South Bronx, I learned a lot of these lessons very, very early.
Well, it's like anything else. I mean, like June was saying, I mean, that many years studying her craft or whatever, you just become that much more, you're keen and your radar, everything, you're much more alert.
It's cultivated, mm-hmm. yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right, right. Yeah.
It's funny because when I go into like Target or Nordstrom's or something and I'll see somebody and I'm with my girlfriend.
You can't turn it off, right?
Yeah. And she's like, what are you doing? I'm like, exactly. She's like, what are you doing? I'm like, he's about to steal.
Still.
She's like, how do you know that? You know, and then like 15 minutes later, we'll see loss prevention walking him out in handcuffs. She's like, how do you know this? You know,
and then don't get started on the TV shows or whatever, right? What you pick up with there. We got a lot of other questions. I don't know if it's we're going to have time, but I'd be kind of intrigued about some of the stories you might have from some of these celebrities or some of these corporate executives, but you probably can't release any names or any details. But before we get to that, talk to our listeners from a ground level experience here about what are some mistakes that people make, you know, in coming in and out of their house or whatever, or some tips you could kind of give for businesses, what to look out for. What are some telltale, you know, signs that there's, you know, was it danger?
Lurking?
Will Robinson or what was that?
Lurking?
Danger.
Yeah. It's lurking.
Yeah. I don't know why I look at you and I say danger. Whatever.
Okay.
Okay. Let's go back to Sam. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the biggest mistake people make is, again, having that mentality that it could never happen to me. And I think here in Atlanta, that's been very prevalent, particularly in areas like Johns Creek and Alpharetta, where we're starting to see an increase in home invasions. where people always had the mentality that because I live in this really great neighborhood, suburbs, these things don't happen here.
Right, yeah.
But what they fail to realize is that the criminals who live in poor neighborhoods aren't going to rob their neighbors because they live around poor people.
Right.
So they're going to go to John Creek and Alpharetta.
Yeah. Smart criminals will find go where the money's at, go where the fish are.
Exactly. And, you know, so you have to stop thinking that you're insulated because of your lifestyle, because your lifestyle could actually make you more of a target.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you're insulated from these things and you're not thinking about it could happen to you, your situational awareness goes down. You have a lack of preparedness for these types of events. And reality is when you prepare for these types of events, it covers a lot of different areas. So if you're preparing for a hurricane, that preparation that you made for a hurricane could also be the same preparation that you made to keep somebody from kicking your front door and for a home invasion. It could also be the same preparation you would make, you know, if we're snowed in.
Right.
So it's not specific to one thing, but situational awareness and having a plan. You know, don't try to insulate your family or the people who live in a house with you from all of the bad things that happen in the world, because if they live in the house, they need to be part of the plan. They need to understand what happens and what goes on when these critical incidents take place and what you need to do to survive them.
I mean, do you get involved or coaching or advice or on homeowners responding to home invasion once it's actually in play, or there's something that they can kind of do to?
We actually offer consulting services where we'll actually go to a person's home and based on the layout of their home, where their doors and windows are, how it's landscaped. You know, there's a discipline in the security industry called crime prevention through environmental design.
Okay.
That's where we will actually look at the exterior of your home and look at various things that we could do to fortify your home without making it look like a fortress.
Right.
You know, like the addition of various types of plants and roses and things of that nature that have large thorns. You plant those outside your windows and, you know, it makes your house more appealing. But then on the flip side, it also makes it very unappealing for somebody to try to climb into your window for fear of getting caught up in these thorns.
So you get one of those big Venus flytrap things.
Absolutely. Nice. And you feed it raw meat from the time. Right.
Or for teenagers exiting or whatever, I guess, or whatever. Yeah. So on a more serious note, the New York Times, we were, you know, you have some of this information you provided us about reported a kidnapping for ransom for growing risk for business travelers traveling abroad. Speak to this a little bit about this. There's actually underwriter kidnapping insurance. And do most people feel like it's a rare occurrence what are your thoughts on that?
It's actually far more prevalent than people think. When I actually got out of the military, I was offered an opportunity to go to South America and do some executive protection work. And when I looked at the amount or the frequency of kidnappings of American businessmen in South America, it was a no deal for me.
Really?
Yeah, it was a no go for me.
It's astonishing.
Particularly since most of the kidnappers were either affiliated with law enforcement or military.
Wow.
You know.
So you saw that Denzel Washington movie, that one?
I did.
Yeah.
I actually saw the original with Scott Glenn back years and years ago. Yeah. So, but it's real. And now it's happening here in the United States as well. You know, the business travelers have had to become somewhat global security specialists in a sense,
right,
when they travel. Oftentimes corporations and companies are not going to incur the cost to have a full security detail or security team with them. The ones that do, they're oftentimes, you know, they're at a very high level. But even then, you know, we're traveling in non-permissive environments where we necessarily can't carry firearms and things of that nature. So you have to be very creative on how you are going to protect your principal. And well, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I'll say a lot of times we think about celebrities, whatever, but I mean, it's a whole other world when you're dealing with these wealthy, affluent folks traveling, not only abroad, but even within the States.
I
mean, because if that's your, you know, your objective as a criminal, they're on your radar. They're on your shortlist. Mm-hmm. And so you start following where they're traveling and how much money. And I mean, what's it? Mayweather, is he still do that? He carries $1 million in cash. I mean, is that a folklore or a urban myth, or is that true? I mean, that seems crazy, but he has a bag always with him, right?
I've seen interviews.
Yeah.
I've seen interviews where he said, you know,
he has it right there.
Tens of thousands of dollars with him in case, you know, his friends need it or he just, whatever it is.
He has a bigger entourage than he does.
Well, yeah, but I mean, still, I mean, why go out of your way to kind of make that, that statement? I guess it's just an ego thing.
Interesting story about Mayweather is that there's actually some speculation that one of the robberies that he was involved in where he was robbed was staged by former security members.
Really?
Yeah. So
Well, I'm glad we don't have that problem. I mean, that's a good thing.
Not this week. Yeah.
And that comes from poor selection and training.
Yeah. Yeah.
Agreed. The thing I like about what I'm hearing is you're not working from a place of fear. You're interested in educating and advocating, the mindset so that people aren't trying to, you know, it's, there were warts or whatnot. Like you said, even as far as the homes. Is that pretty much part of your secret sauce to, I mean, for you to have a complete and a holistic, view of life from, you know, more of a wise person's perspective? Cause that's what I'm hearing right now.
Yeah. I think that you have to, if you walk around constantly afraid and constantly mm-hmm. fearful of everything that goes on in the world, you won't enjoy life. You know, I meet people all the time that in the firearms industry who tell me that they don't go places where they can't carry their gun. I'm like, that's ridiculous to me.
Yeah.
That's absolutely ridiculous.
But where is that now? I mean, you could carry a gun anywhere.
In Georgia now, right?
Well, in most places. Yeah. There are very few places here in Georgia, thanks to HB60, which you actually can. But yeah, I mean, I think you have to look at life from a broader perspective mm-hmm. and understand that there are things that, you know, could cause you injury. You know, we teach a tactical first aid class where we actually apply or teach individuals how to do self-care in the event that they're injured, up to and including applying your own tourniquet if you should suffer some type of arterial bleeding. Mm-hmm. What we're trying to get away from is have people think that this is just a firearms thing, because you could be camping or hiking on Kennesaw Mountain, fall down a path, and next thing you know, your bone's sticking through your leg and you need to stop that bleeding. You know, so you could be crossing Lennox Road and get, you know, run over by a bus or something and you need to fix your leg or something. I mean, I don't know.
Or some comedian driving a Harley or whatever. Exactly. Yeah. I mean,
let's drag you down the road.
That's probably more likely or whatever. Yeah. If you've seen her on a bike. Yeah. So, yeah.
So these things apply.
Oh, June, you're still here? Yeah. Sorry. I thought
you. I'm not dead over here yet, Mr. Firearms.
Yeah. So, I want to talk a little bit about the kind of local perspective of Buckhead, but before we get to that, on a more serious note, I was reading this. It's pretty another shocking alert here. Parents.com says every 40 seconds in the United States, a child becomes missing or is abducted, and unfortunately, but in Atlanta, speak to the local perspective of this, right? It's become a hub for sex trafficking.
Yeah.
Talk to us about, you know, how do you work with families protecting their children and, you know, against an abductor? I mean, like you said, you can't live in a bubble and you can't anticipate everything, but there are some things that, you know, if we can just leave some folks with a couple of takeaways that they can, you know, what are your thoughts on that?
I'm actually glad you asked me about that, because that's something that I'm really passionate about, because growing up in the South Bronx, I was actually the victim of an attempted abduction.
Wow.
I was maybe 6 years old, and, you know, growing up in the South Bronx, a crackhead ran over and grabbed me and ran off. But this was during a time when neighborhoods still had that neighborhood feel. Right. So everybody got involved.
Watching out for you.
As soon as he grabbed me and he ran around the corner to the store, there was a mob of people behind him. Wow. And they cornered him in the store and they got me back, and he left with some lumps and bumps and bruises and stuff. But, you know, so it's always been something that I've thought of, because it was a scary moment for me. And when I look at the Atlanta landscape and what's going on with the child abductions, you know, if you look at the news, you can't go a week without watching the news and seeing an attempted child abduction in Atlanta. And it was really troubling to me in the beginning of the year, because in the first 45 days, I saw like maybe 16 news reports of an attempted abduction mm-hmm. here in Atlanta. So
what can parents do? Yeah, what can they do?
Yeah, parents need to talk to their kids, and they need to change their thought process about what a threat actually looks like. Because what we typically do is we tell kids stranger danger, right. You know, and we paint this awful picture of what a stranger looks like. But the reality is, a stranger could be anybody.
Yep.
You know, it's not necessarily going to be this person who, you know, looks like a monster or something. It could be a very well-dressed individual in a suit. So we have to talk to our kids about that. We have to have a plan and have our kids understand that if it's someone who is not an immediate family member and it hasn't been previously discussed, that this is a person that it's safe to go with. You know, I even recommend to families that they have a buzzword.
That's what I was going to think.
That only they know and only the kids know. And if somebody comes to you and tells you, hey, your mom or dad said, come with me, you know, they've been hurt. If they don't know that buzzword, run in the other direction.
What does it do? The kid just ask, what's the secret word? A secret word would be kind of cool, right? For a kid.
Well, I would say not even, I would say don't even ask if they yeah. don't offer that. If they don't offer
that information,
right because up. As a parent, right. as part of that plan, you need to let them know if anything ever happens to me and I send somebody other than me or your dad to.
They're going
to
know the word. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to tell them to right, let yeah. you know the word. If
In
they
advance.
Don't say it, take
and walk
off.
Away. Yeah.
That, don't that, walk.
That's,
run.
Right. That's a great tip. Talk about, you know, what's going on, you know, here locally. You got some things coming up or, you know, with Buckhead Atlanta. You know, that's the newest thing on the horizon, right? So
yeah,
we're talking
it's about
high
to open,
end,
yeah.
High end retail.
Yeah, Streets of Buckhead, they're going to have, or Buckhead Atlanta, I'm sorry, they're going to have, you know, my understanding is going to be the Rodeo Drive of Atlanta.
Yeah.
And there's going to be a lot of high end retail. And, you know, throughout my career, I've done a lot of loss prevention work with some high end retailers. And one of the things that I found is that it's a completely different beast. You have to understand who their audience is, and you have to understand the types of individuals who shop at these places. They want that sense of security, but they don't want it to interfere with their with their experience.
They want it to be visual. They just want to exactly. feel the sense.
And even in visual, it has to be presented a certain way. Like right. in a lot of the retailers that I've worked with, instead of putting them there in a security uniform, we'd put them in a, you know, in a two button suit.
Yeah.
Now, you know, the retailers would, or the shoppers wouldn't know that they might be armed with a Glock with two 17 round magazines, but, you know, they had more of a security concierge look more so than a security mm-hmm. officer or law enforcement or something
right.
like
safety
that.
Safety presence.
Nature.
They're exactly. not wearing that light blue shirt with all the yeah. sequins all, on
yeah,
there.
No.
Nice. So I don't know if June has some questions. We're going to kind of wrap things up here, but before we, did you have some thoughts or some takeaways or observations?
Oh gosh, so many. It's scary. This is not your Walmart shopper that we're dealing with here at Buckhead Atlanta, right?
No, then? No.
Okay.
Yeah, walking in on the.
It did dawn on me that the suit did give you an advantage. It was kind of like A Boy Named Sue. Remember that? That song, no,
Johnny Cash. He's giving the blank stare.
Yeah. Clearly, yeah. Clearly you're not a
it's a thousand yard stare.
Remember, he's number three. He's not the first or second.
Yeah,
he's third generation.
York.
Yeah,
but it did help you. I mean, it's going back to that which I mentioned, that which brought you up, or that you survived through, that led you where you are today. So,
you know what? I tell people, and it's funny. My dad used to tell a story about how I've been in the security business since I was 3 years old. Mm. And like, what are you talking about? Well, when I was in kindergarten, I came home one day with a pocket full of quarters and my pants was falling down because he had the little granimals with the elastic around it. And my teacher called and said that I was charging everybody 25 cents to protect them from the classroom bully.
That's what I'm talking about.
You know, I think I was meant to yeah. do this. You know, this was my calling. I was meant to do, you know, but I've always hated bullies mm. and I never really wanted to be a law enforcement officer because, you know, I respect the job that they do, but I think oftentimes politics and bureaucracy kind of tie their hands in what they can do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Whereas from a security perspective, I've always thought that prevention and being preemptive mm-hmm. was more important than mm-hmm. being reactionary.
Mm-hmm.
So as a security professional, it's always given me that opportunity to do that. And it's just been, you know, significantly more rewarding. You know, people like to look at the security industry sometimes as being more of a liability than an asset because we don't generate revenue. We
right.
don't generate it
until
something happens.
Whatever, yeah.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Until something happens. And
until
then when
somebody
look,
gets hurt.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. And then when you look at the loss that was potentially averted to the individual or to a corporation, you know, then it all makes sense. So just having that ability to be able to influence that has always just been something that's appealed to me.
Awesome.
Cool.
We're right around the corner from July 1st, the Georgia's Safe Carry Protection deal.
Woohoo!
let's hear your take on that, you know?
If I'm being completely honest, concealed is concealed. So what that means is that most responsible, law-abiding citizens who carry firearms, we're doing what this law is now telling us we can do anyway.
Yeah.
You know, but we were responsible in the sense that you didn't know it. You know, you've got a whole leg of the firearms industry out here who wants to strap rifles across their bags mm-hmm. and open carry. And I think that open carry to make a political statement is the wrong way to go about doing that.
It's fear.
Yeah. The HB60, I think was critical in showing Georgia residents that as our legislators, you respect the Second Amendment, you know, and I don't want to get into a big Second Amendment mm-hmm. thing here, but I think that I think that it basically will open doors for us to be able to expand our horizons more, not be victims like the people I were telling you about who said that, you know, to certain place they won't go unless they can carry a, now they can have a better social life.
Yeah. That's good.
They can get out more.
Yeah.
Awesome. I had a couple of just, finishing questions. Is there any guilty pleasure you have on TV specific, you know, some, crime or movies that, you know, have gotten your attention that you just, you know, to the average citizen, we're like on the edge of our seat. To you, it's laughable, or something that you respect, or whatever. You know, that's kind of true to what are your kind of favorites or least favorites?
Honestly, I would probably go as far as to say Walking Dead is probably my favorite, because when I look at that from a firearms and combatives perspective, I'm thinking these guys are really, really good. They're just always coming up with new stuff and you know, different ways. Although if I were writing a show, everybody would have a 12 gauge and the zombies wouldn't stand a chance.
Dude, but, that's probably your favorite show too, right?
Oh, yes, it is. It's
the Riding Dead.
Yeah, there you go. I like that. I do have a question for you about Mr. Mayweather. How do we get to be a friend?
Facebook.
Yeah.
You have that. Okay, good.
You could open for him as his next tournament.
I would love to. Yeah, and then be one of those friends in need.
You can make him laugh after he loses, or well, he doesn't lose that
he
often.
He doesn't lose, yeah.
He'll probably have to fight another client, yeah.
No, he hires Sam.
Yeah.
I'd like for him to, you know.
If
security needs training, they need to call me.
So, Sam, tell our listeners, what's the best way to reach out and get in touch with you and find out more?
Best way to reach me is through my website, calibertraininggroup.com. Okay. We're actually going through a revamp right now. That should be up in the next week or so, but there is still a contact page up right now. And when we do this revamp, I mean, it's going to be unlike anything the firearms industry has seen.
Wow.
You know, we're going above and beyond to make sure that our presence is very classy and that it doesn't give off this tactical, militaristic feel that I think sometimes ostracizes a lot of people and pushes them away from, you know, getting the information that we have to offer.
Cool. So tell us that site one more time.
CaliberTrainingGroup.com.
And June, just remind our listeners, best way to reach out to you as well.
JuneKline.com. Klein with a C. C-L-I-N-E.
Nice. So, Craig, what do you think? Good show, man. Thanks for stepping up and just...
A lot of fun.
Yeah,
got some humor on one side and firearms on the left.
Can it get any better?
I know, I can't think of more opposite or whatever. Yeah.
I tell jokes in my class if that helps.
Nice, yeah. Y'all get together after the show.
Oh, we will.
Compare notes. So just want to say thanks again to our guests, our sponsors, and business partners for making this possible. Rich Casanova, we'll see you again next week for another episode of Buckhead Business Radio X. Stay tuned.